Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back. You're locked in with me, Nelson John, on Nelson John 360. And look, today I want to start off with a sound. It's a nostalgic sound. For those of you who were around it in the late 90s, early 2000s, this was the sound of the world. Connecting people. Remember that? That slogan? Ah, that iconic audio jingle. Of course, that was Nokia. And here's why I played it. At its peak, this company owned 40% of the entire global phone market. 40%. They were the definition of untouchable. I mean, you could drop their phones from a building and they'd still work. I can vouch for that because I had a Nokia 3310, my first mobile device, rock solid. Yeah, but that's not the point here. We all know the simple version of this story, right? A story that gets old at cocktail parties. Steve Jobs walks out, pulls the iPhone out of his pocket in 2007, and boom, Nokia is toast. End of story. But friends, let me tell you, that narrative is way too neat. It's actually a profound corporate fiction. Nokia wasn't murdered by the iPhone. Nokia was dying of a slow, systematic disease, a corporate autoimmune disorder, long before the iPhone even launched. The iPhone was the bullet, but Nokia was already bleeding out from 1,000 internal cuts. So, here's the mission today. We're performing a corporate autopsy on Nokia. We're figuring out the real lessons, the fear, the blindness, the arrogance that led to its downfall. Then we're flying straight to Cupertino. We're going to hold up Apple Inc. to those same lessons. Is Tim Cook's Apple walking that same exact treacherous road? Or has he built an escape-proof fortress? And if he has, can that fortress withstand the new threats? I'm talking about the regulatory sledgehammers being swung by governments and the quiet total disruption of the AI, artificial intelligence revolution. This is a case study on resilience, disruption, and what happens when the king stops looking over his shoulder. Let's dive right in.
You're listening to Nelson John 360.
Nelson John 360.
All right, let's start with the hard truth. Nokia's collapse wasn't a market event. It was a management failure. Yes. And you have to understand the specific anatomy of this failure to appreciate the risk that Apple faces even today. Forget the Symbian OS for a second. The real killer was the culture of fear. Think about this scenario. You're a middle manager at the largest company in the world. You go into a meeting and the top executive, who is known for being extremely temperamental, is yelling. I mean, shouting at the top of their lungs, according to internal reports. What are you going to do? You're going to filter the bad news? You're going to tell them what they want to hear? Probably right. Now, this created something terrifying in the organization. Let's just say a decoupling of perceptions. The executives, who often lack deep technical competence, they were finance guys and operation guys, not software architects. They were getting rosy, optimistic reports. They were being directly lied to, as the analysis puts it, by managers terrified of demotion or losing their bonus. So the executives were making strategic product decisions based on a fantasy that was being fed to them from below. You can't win when your strategic decisions are based on misinformation. That fear-based culture, which was supposed to enforce discipline, actually guaranteed failure. It completely crippled their ability to pivot. But the fear led to the second problem. Strategic myopia. Nokia was fundamentally an engineering company that was obsessed with hardware. It's safe to say they were stuck in a hardware-centric worldview. They thought the battle was about battery life, physical keypads, and build quality. Meanwhile, the game changed. Apple and Google came in and said, hey, listen, the battle is about software platforms, apps, and ecosystems. Nokia was still focusing on building a better car while their competitors were building a new highway system. Here's a stat that should make every business leader's stomach turn. By 2009, they were running their operating system, Symbian, in 57 different incompatible versions. 57! If you wanted to build an app for Nokia, you have to try to accommodate 57 different ways the operating system behaves. How do you compete with Apple, which said, it's one operating system, iOS, and it works exactly the same on every single phone? Nokia fatally misjudged where the value had shifted. Loyalty moved from the physical brand, the handset manufacturer, to the software platform. They lost the operating system war, and once you lose the OS war, everything else is just a slow, painful slide. When they finally made their move, partnering with Microsoft and adopting Windows Phone, it was too late. The customer loyalty was gone. The app ecosystem had been defined by their competitors. Their market share dropped from 40% to basically zero in 5 years. It's a cautionary tale for institutional arrogance and internal rot. So, did Tim Cook and the Apple leadership team read the Nokia case study? Well, you bet they did. Because Apple's business model today is a systematic defense against every single one of Nokia's specific failures. First, let's talk about the leadership contrast. Where Nokia was defined by chaos, Apple, under Cook, is defined by what the research calls precision, scale, and operational excellence. That's everything that Nokia leadership is not. Cook is the operations genius. He's the supply chain master. He runs the company like a well-oiled machine, structured functionally with experts leading experts. No more generalist executives making technical decisions based on filtered reports. But the real magic, that thing that gives Apple its structural resilience, is the services division. Nokia was too dependent on volatile hardware sales. Cook fixed that. He built a massive, high-margin, recurring revenue engine. Check out this number and pay attention, because this is the money machine. Services, you know what that is? That's your iCloud, your Apple Music, your app store fees. Yes, app store fees hit $27.42 billion in Q3 2025. That may not be a big number, but what you need to know is that it is a 108% jump in just 5 years. And here's the kicker. Services boasts gross margins exceeding 70%. Now, that's incredible profitability, far richer than the margins on the physical devices. This is the financial moat. This is the high tide mark that shields Apple when iPhone sales fluctuate. They have over 1 billion paid subscriptions across their platforms. Now, that is stability. And then there is the walled garden. This is the ultimate counter to Nokia's failure to build an ecosystem. This is the quantifiable defense against switching costs. Listen to these stats. 92% of iPhone users stay with Apple when they upgrade. 9 out of 10. That's loyalty you cannot buy. Samsung is way down at about 77%. They have an active installed base of over 2.2 billion devices globally. Now, this lock-in is no accident. It's a seamless web of hardware, software, and services that are designed to be difficult to leave. And if you choose to leave, you leave your whole digital life. The customer loyalty isn't to the Apple logo. It is to the convenience of the ecosystem. And finally, Cook's operational discipline extends to supply chain command. They are deeply reliant on China. Yes, we know that. But recognizing the geopolitical risks, something Nokia would have ignored, Cook has aggressively pursued de-risking. They are strategically expanding manufacturing into India and Vietnam. They're building a more resilient global supply chain right now. So the conclusion is clear. Apple is not on the verge of a Nokia-style collapse. They fixed the culture. They built the ecosystem. And they created the financial buffer. But, you know, there's always a but. On Nelson John 360, the nature of disruption has evolved. Apple has vaccinated itself against the old virus. But the new viruses are attacking the very foundation of this success. What are Apple's two greatest advantages? Its high-margin services and its proprietary ecosystem. They are facing a triad of modern disruption. The first leg of that triad is the regulatory gauntlet. Governments are essentially doing the hard work for competitors by forcing the walled garden open. Now, you might have heard of DMA, EU's Digital Markets Act. Well, it's the biggest spear. It's forcing Apple to allow alternate app stores and payment systems in Europe. They've already been slammed with a 500 million euro fine by the European Commission. This directly attacks the 30% commission, that is, the lifeblood of the App Store and the services division. And then there is the Epic Games cases in the US, forcing them to allow developers to steer users to outside payment systems. Death by 1,000 cuts, all aiming for that 70% margin business. But the biggest single point of failure, that strategic vulnerability that keeps them up all night, is the Google TAC dependency, TAC dependency. TAC is the traffic acquisition cost. Now, here's the deal. Google pays Apple an estimated $20 billion annually to be the default search engine on Safari. Think about that figure. It represents about 20% of the service's segment revenue. It's basically free, pure profit cash flow. But it is currently the subject of an ongoing U.S. antitrust trial. If that arrangement is declared illegal, that entire $20 billion revenue stream, a quarter of the profit from their primary growth engine, vanishes overnight. Now, that's a major instability factor. It shows that even a fortress built on billions is susceptible to a single political ruling. The second, and perhaps more terrifying, leg of the triad is the AI revolution. This echoes the strategic blindness of Nokia, but on a massive scale. Nokia missed the shift from hardware to software. The existential threat to Apple is missing the shift from app-based computing to conversational AI. The core danger is simple. If the primary way you interact with technology becomes a conversational interface, an AI agent, then the underlying operation system becomes less relevant. When you think about it, it actually makes sense. Why would I need iOS home screen if I just talk to my phone to handle my schedule, my email, my flight bookings? Makes sense, right? Now, this is called platform erosion. The AI sits on top of the OS, effectively commoditizing the hardware that Apple's entire business model is built upon. Apple was rightly criticized for being a laggard here. Siri was notoriously slow. There was a cultural mismatch. Apple's perfectionist culture conflicts with the iterative ship-it-now nature of AI development. You can't perfect a large language model behind closed doors. But they have made a decisive pivot with Apple Intelligence. And it's a very clever counter. They're fighting AI with privacy and integration. Instead of trying to win the generic cloud AI race, they're betting everything on on-device processing, right? They are leveraging their proprietary M-series and A-series chips, their custom silicon, to run the models locally on your phones. Now, this does two things. One, it positions them as the privacy champion. Your data stays private. Two, it reinforces the walled garden. You want the best AI, you have to buy the Apple silicon. They also made a smart, pragmatic move by integrating ChatGPT. It basically says, look, we rent the biggest brain in the room for the things we're not good at, but we're going to own the user experience and the privacy architecture. Now, this is a defensive strategy designed to ensure that the hardware remains necessary. But we can all agree that they're still playing catch-up. Risking that competitors, Google, Meta, might define the entire next generation of computing before Apple perfects its offering. That's what's called innovation pacing problem. So let's tie it all together, because the comparison is stark and the lesson is timeless. Apple is not the new Nokia. Let's be absolutely clear with that. The structural, financial, and operational differences are immense. Cook dismantled the internal dysfunctions that killed the Finnish giant. He built the moat, and he filled it with 70% margin services revenue. But the Nokia trap is not just about specific tactical mistakes. It's a gravitational law of corporate life. It is the tendency for success to breed a success-bred conservatism. When you're making hundreds of billions of dollars, the incentive is to optimize what you have, not to risk it all on the radical visionary leap. That is the existential threat Apple faces now. They are facing a potential triad of threats. The regulators are actively breaching the walls. The AI platform shift making the OS irrelevant. And the cultural risk that they choose optimization and incremental refinement over truly cannibalizing their own success. The final lesson of the Nokia story isn't about iPhone. It's about the fact that no fortress is impregnable when the technology fundamentally changes the rules of the game. The imperative for Apple today isn't to defend the iPhone. It is to architect the platform that replaces the iPhone. They have to be willing to disrupt their own golden goose before someone else does. Now, that requires visionary risk. And we, as students of business, must watch to see if a company built for operational excellence can rediscover the radical spirit of its founder. I'm Nelson John. This has been Nelson John 360. Keep questioning the narrative. All right, that's all the time we have for today on Nelson John 360. If this conversation sparked some new thoughts or gave you a fresh perspective, here's how you can keep the momentum going. Follow the show in your podcast app to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling generous, leaving a rating and a review is the single best way to help others discover this vital discussion. I cannot emphasize this enough. Your engagement truly energizes me and directly contributes to my ability to keep delivering constant high-quality content right to your ears. So don't be a stranger. Hit that follow, leave a review, and let's keep thinking together. Stay smart, stay safe.